You handle a lot in life. And it can be said about you that you can handle a lot in life. But then sometimes something will hit you and you just don't know what to do. All the knowledge, wisdom, and experience that you have in life, your expertise in whatever the problem has come up in that area of life, just can't help you this time. And you just don't know what to do. You know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, the Bible tells us that King Jehoshaphat prayed to God when he was overwhelmed. His heart was overwhelmed with the matter because here he was, king in Jerusalem, and an army had come and surrounded the city. Now, how frightening would that be? Would your heart be overwhelmed? And in his prayer to God, found partly in verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 20, he just said he was looking to God because they didn't know what to do. Did not know what to do. Have you not read what the psalmist did when they were in over their heads? David alone in particular seemed to be in danger of death many times. Have you ever noticed that in the Psalms? I mean, you can read about that in the story of David in 1 and 2 Samuel. But when you read the Psalms, you think, well, he was even in more trouble than what the Samuels reveal. Either facing death from an enemy or from an illness. What did he do? Often he didn't know what to do except to look to God. So what David did, we can also do. And Psalm 61 is one of those prayers that David uttered before God. He composed this writing, this poem, that was meant to be sung to God. And it's not that you and I should write a song, unless of course we can. But we can nevertheless do what he did, and that is pray to God about the matter. And you will experience deliverance as David did. The preface to Psalm 61 says this: to the chief musician on a stringed instrument, a psalm of David. Psalm 61 is a beautiful poem where David here is speaking about playing the strings of his heart. Yes, he played on an instrument, but I'd encourage you, when you sing to God, when you pray to God, let it not simply be an intellectual exercise, but the expressions of your heart. That your heart is, in a sense, through prayer, singing to God as you pluck the strings of your heart before God. And as you pour out your emotions to Him that have been hiding in your heart, God will hear and see and act. The Psalms are wonderful in showing that very thing. Listen, brethren, when you read something like Psalm 61, you'll notice that religion was not an emotionless experience for David. Somebody a long time ago convinced us that we shouldn't show emotion in our religion. Listen, God created us as emotional beings, and the most important thing to Him is our religion. The Bible doesn't just say, love God with all your mind and soul and strength, but it also says to love Him with all your heart. And prayer, along with some other things, is one of those great times when we can just open up the heart and just pour out our tears to God. That's what David did in Psalm 61. Now listen to verses 1 and 2 of this psalm as you see the overwhelming situation that David was in. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David pled for God to hear him because sometimes we do not know where God is when life hurts. And those are the times to cry out to him. And David, in this situation here, and we don't know exactly what it was, some people think because of the context here that maybe it's when his own son Absalom had driven him, you know, out of Israel, out of Jerusalem, and he feared for his life. But David had an urgent matter, and he did not want God to overlook him. Although I'm in a foreign land, it sounds like, I'm on the ends of the earth, I'm not where I need to be back at home. Please, O God, hear me. And so David said he cried to God. He spoke loudly to God. Even from the end of the earth would David cry to God. And it was as though David was far away from God or far away from his land. And yet David knew that he could call upon God from some distant place, because David's God, who is our God, was not restricted to the land of Israel, even as today he's not restricted to this church building. He is not restricted by location, nor is he restricted by time, such as a worship service. Are you in trouble? Are there some difficult issues in your life? Although God may seem far away, and maybe you seem far away even from Him, pray to Him whenever you're in that situation and wherever you are. He wants to hear you. Something overwhelmed the heart of David, suffocating him, giving him that horrible feeling of a sinking heart. You know, you've had that before. Don't you just hate that? I hate when situations come up where it just feels like my heart is sunk. And you don't know the outcome of a situation. And so David was in despair. The man who taught Solomon wisdom didn't know what to do. Therefore, he wanted God to lead him to a rock, he said, that is higher than I. His heart sank in trouble, but he yearned for a rock that would take him above the trouble, above the enemy, if that's what it was, where the enemy could not reach him. A rock that was so high that really even David himself could not get there by his own power. That is why he's asking God to get him there. I need an exceedingly high rock, God. One that only You can take me there. And Jesus was that rock for David, even as Jesus is that rock for us, just like we sang. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. You know, Mason didn't know that psalm when I asked him to sing it this week. But I never would have guessed it. I thought he did wonderful. And are all of you familiar with that song? Does anyone here not know that song? I mean, it's wonderful, isn't it? What a powerful message that is. Praise God that we have Jesus who is that rock. You see, in Psalm 61... David is praying to God especially there in verses 1 and 2, because he knew what God could do. That's what you now see him saying in verses 3 and 4. David had a past experience with God. That's why he could pray as he did in verses 1 and 2. Here's what he says now in verses 3 and 4. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Selah. A little pause. In the past, God had been a shelter for David. That's why he knew when he was in a situation where his heart was overwhelmed that he could go to God and he'd take him to the rock. He said that it was higher than him. You know, problems can be like storms. You know, it's a situation where you don't have control. You don't have control of the storm. It just comes whether you want it to or not. And during storms, we need shelter. And during problems, we need shelter. And the Lord is our shelter. In the past, David said that God had been a strong tower for him. Even as a tower takes one above the reach of the enemy and gives you a distinct advantage over the enemy, so our God can give us a distinct advantage over whatever it is that's ailing us, that's overwhelming our hearts. David, therefore, knew that he would abide in God's tabernacle forever. God, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to abide in your tabernacle forever. That's my purpose and that's my plan. You see, it was not only dependent upon God. This was something that David had to desire. This is something that he had to purpose and plan for his life. He didn't want to go anywhere else. He did not want to go there only when there was trouble. But he wanted to be there forever, during the good times and during the hard times. And David would trust in the shelter of God's wings, just like those little chicks do under the wings of the mother bird. Have you seen that with chickens before? Chicks and chickens? I thought it was, you know, it's kind of comical when I saw it. And yet, it's a perfect picture of what's going on here in Psalm 61. God is like the mother bird. David is just the little baby bird. And he runs to the mother to be sheltered under her wing. He continues now in verses 5 through 7. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. David trusted in God because God had heard David's vows. In other words, God had demonstrated his faithfulness. David knew that God was credible and capable. Whatever God promised, David knew God could keep. And whatever situation David was in, David knew God could deal with it. And it didn't matter what it was, what his problem was, and it didn't matter how grand God's promise was. And that was the heritage of those who fear God's name. Fear God's name and he'll exalt you. David knew that. I fear your name, so now you're going to take me to the rock that's higher than I. So how do I react to God's name? Is it something I cherish? Do I love the name of God? Do I love just to hear His name? David also knew that God would prolong the life of the king, that his years would be as the life of many generations. In other words, I'm not going to just live the life of one man. I'm going to live forever. And it's because of you. these problems I'm currently experiencing are not going to snuff me out. I'll make it. And I'll live, and I'll live, and I'll live. In verse 7, he said that he would abide before God forever. And that's the thing about trouble. You know, you get in trouble, and you pray to God, and so far you don't see the answer. So you wonder if that's going to be the case. Am I really going to abide before God forever? Is He really with me? Is there something good between God and myself? Or has something gone bad? But those who fear the name of God know that God is greater than any of our problems. Notice that David did not say his problem put him in fear, but he feared the name of God. And that's because he knew God was greater than the problem, regardless of what it was. David also knew that this would only happen if God prepared mercy and truth for David. In other words, the truth of the situation would come out. Maybe you've been in that situation where you have a problem with another party. And a third party, or maybe even multiple parties, have heard of this conflict. And they don't know who to believe. But you know that you've not done anything wrong. You know that you've tried to do the right and best thing. So do what David did. Pray to God for truth. Not meaning just the truth of His Word, but the truth of the situation and the truth about you. Now that might also mean that some truth is revealed about you that you don't want to hear. You know, sometimes we've been wrong in a conflict. And if that's the case, we need to hear that and then make it good and work on that particular problem. And then hopefully, by the showing of truth, that's mercy being shown to us. And then we can be delivered and everyone can see what the real situation is. We have another song in our book. It's Psalm number 60 that is an absolutely wonderful song. Carrie and I are trying to learn it at home right now. It says this: after the midnight, morning will greet us. After the sadness, joy will appear. After the tempest, sunlight will meet us. After the jeering, praise we shall hear. After the battle, peace will be given. After the weeping, song there will be. After the journey, there will be heaven. Burdens will fall, and we shall be free. Shadows and sunshine all through the story. Teardrops and pleasure day after day. But when we reach the kingdom of glory, trials of earth will vanish away. After the shadows, there will be sunshine. After the frown, the soul-cheering smile. Cling to the Savior. Love Him forever. All will be well in a little while. That just fits in perfectly, I believe, with Psalm 61. So, determine that you're going to sing to God. That in the worship, you're going to sing to God just like David said he would do in the next verse. Verse 8 of Psalm 61 now says this: so will I sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Oh, this is typical of the Psalms of David or whoever the psalmist is, where they start out in despair. Oh God, my heart is overwhelmed with a matter. And then by the end, as he thinks about God, what God has done for him in the past, and just how grand God is, he's now talking about, I'm going to sing to you forever. I'm going to come out of this situation, and everything is going to be great. Because it's going to be you and me, God. I'm going to be singing to you. Knowing what God would do, he'd sing God's praises forever. And David had such confidence in God that notice what he's doing. He's singing. He says that he's going to sing a victory before it even happens. Okay, he's still in the situation where his heart's overwhelmed. But I know that in the end, I'm going to be singing your praises. I know that I've got victory. And he's right. And so that would enable him to perform his vows daily. In fact, right in this psalm, you can read of four vows. In verse 2, he had said, I will cry to you. That's a vow. Verse 4, I will abide in your tabernacle forever. That's not like a demand. We're saying, God, I'm going to be in heaven and that's just all there is to it. No, I'm going to stay within your residence forever. That's just where I want to be. Thirdly, and again in verse 4, he says, I will trust in the shelter of your wings. And then in verse 8, I will sing to your name forever. Those are vows, brethren. So although he says, my heart is overwhelmed with the matter, I know what you can do. And here are the four things I'm going to do. Because you're going to deliver me, these are the four things I'll be able to do. I'll be able to keep my vows, and here they are. And so can we also keep our promises to God by having confidence in His deliverance? David's deepest desire, from the foe, I am heed neath your bows. Trusting whatever your mercy allows, or that should be your bows, trusting whatever your mercy allows, you have made me the heir. Lord, now help me prepare to sing praises and daily keep vows. Based on Psalm 61. So do you have a deep desire to be free of a struggle? Does a problem so overwhelm your heart that you're at a loss to know what to do? Maybe you've sought others, you've talked to people, you've done some reading. Have you spoken to God? Have you stopped in your life for a moment and just to open up the contents of your heart and just let it all out before Him? I mean, He knows what your struggles are anyway. Why not just go ahead and speak to Him? Have you not read what is said in Hebrews chapter 4? Listen to this from Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Father is there for us. And Jesus, functioning as the high priest, as our mediator, is also there for us, ready to help, ready to take our prayers to God. The only thing that's lacking is us, is my decision and then my actual doing of it. And if you're at that point where you need us to pray for you tonight, please don't go home without maybe talking to someone in private or before the whole congregation if you need that. And if you do, come forward now as we stand and sing.